From where we left off yesterday, which is Brachas Daf Gimel Min Aleph on the two dots, four lines into the page. This daf is a lot easier than the end of yesterday. The Mishnah started off by saying, "When is the zman for Kriyat Shema from Tzeis HaKochavim at Sof HaShmura HaRishona?" Div Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar says until the end of the first watch, which we just sort of flew through, and I said it's 4 hours into the night. So what exactly does that mean? So says the Gemara. I'll give you a little background. The first watch is in Shemayim. We know that the night is 12 hours. So whatever that, in Shemayim, there are multiple watches of Malachim. Malachim make rotations. And there's a Machlokas Tanayim, whether there's three watches in Shemayim, each watch consisting of 4 hours, or are there four watches in Shemayim, each watch consisting of 3 hours. So now what we're going to address in a moment is, why are you giving me a halachic time down here, which is when Malachim change their rotation? But the point is, Rav Elazar says you could say Shema until the end of the first watch, until the end of the celestial Malachim first watch. So the Gemara says like this, Mai kasavar Rav Elazar. What exactly does Rav Elazar hold? I kasavar shalish mishmaros havalayla. So again, as we're going to say in a moment, there's a machlokas tanaim, whether in Shemayim there's three watches consisting each watch of 4 hours, or four watches each one consisting of 3 hours. But the Gemara wants to know, memanavshach, either way, give me a time. Why are you telling me watches? Like, just say 3 hours or 4 hours. Just make it clear. Ma'ikasavar avalazar. What does Rav Elazar hold? Ikasavar shalish mishmaros havalayla. If he holds that there are three celestial watches of Malachim in Shemayim, and each watch consists of 4 hours, leimad arba shayis, just say 4 hours. And ikasavar arba mishmaros havalayla. And if he holds that there are four watches in Shemayim, and each watch consists of 3 hours, leimad shaloshos. Then say you could say Shema until 3 hours. I mean, basically, why are you mentioning watches? Just tell me the time. 3 or 4 hours. Just give me a time. So the Gemara says, "La'olam kesavar shalosh mishmaros havalayla." Really, Rav Elazar holds there are three watches in the night, each watch consisting of 4 hours each. So therefore, according to Rav Elazar, you could say Shema until 4 hours into the night. By the way, just for the record, not to confuse too much, whenever we say hours, it's called shos zmania. It doesn't mean 60-minute hours. It's where you take the whole night and you divide it into 12 equal parts. So during the winter, it'll be longer. During the summer, it'll be shorter. Fun. The point is, according to Rav Elazar, you could say Shema until 4 hours into the night, because the end of the first watch is 4 hours. So the question is, why is Rav Elazar, what? He assumes that you're such mikubalim that you're able to sense when the malachim are shifting. Why is he giving you a time that there's no way for any of us to be able to decipher? So the Gemara says, B'hokem Ashmolah, and Rav Elazar is teaching you, de'ika mishmaris v'rekiya, v'ika mishmaris da'ara. That there are ways, there are physical signs down here of the shift of the malachim. Meaning, there are ways to know when the malachim are changing their rotation. And he's trying to teach you that. And that's why he doesn't want to tell you 4 hours. He wants to say the end of the first watch. And he doesn't expect us to be mikubalim that are able to tell. There are physical manifestations of the changes down here, as we'll see in a moment. There are ways to tell. And the reason why it's important to know is because, al pi Kabbalah, these are what's called Eis Ratzon. These times are called Eis Ratzon. Each time Hashem has a shift of the Malachim, it's considered another Eis Ratzon. And it's even brought down, morning, sir, it's even brought down from the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai writes that there's an Indian called Tikkun Chatzos, which is you wake up at Chatzos and you say these tefillos to remember the Churban. By the way, Chatzos is one of the signs of the shifts we're going to see is at Chatzos. But the Ben Ish Chai says, let's say you can't wake up for Chatzos, you can't get up that early. So he says, okay, so if you could at least daven at one of the shifts. Meaning these, what we're about to say in a moment, which the physical manifestations of these shifts in Shemayim, the reason why it's good to know is because in Shemayim it's an Eis Ratzon. So if you're able to, let's say, figure out when the second shift starts, that would be a good time to say Tehillim. So the Gemara says, what are these shifts? Detanya. This is the chiddush of the Gemara. There are physical manifestations of these watches in Shemayim of the Malachim. D'tanya, Rav Elazar, I'm Rav Elazar, teaches shalosh mishmaros havalayla. There are three watches in Shemayim, each watch consisting of 4 hours. Va'al kol mishmar u mishmar, and during each change of the mishmar, Yoishev HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Shayi Kari, during the whole time, but specifically during the ship, the changes, the Mokobolim point out the changes is when it's more of an Esratzon. During all these shifts, Yoishev HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem sits V'Shayi Kari, and he roars like a lion. Shenemar Hashem Mimarom Yishag, he cries out from above, U'mimon Kodsha Yiten Kailay, and from his holy place, he gives out his voice. Shog Yishag Al Naveyu. He cries for his palace. It says Yishag three times, each one for another shift in Shemaim. V'simin l'davar, and how do I know down here what's going up in Shemaim? I'm not a Mekubal. So the answer is, Mishmara Rishona for the first shift, Chamor Noyer, when the donkeys make noise. When the donkeys bray, if you're a farmer, when the donkeys start making noise, that's the first shift. Shania, during the second shift, Klovim Tsoyakim, the dogs are barking. And Shlishis, the third one, is Tinik Yonig Mishtei'imai V'isha Misaperis and Baila. The third shift is when the babies start nursing from their mothers, and the husband and wife shmooze. They used to work during the day, and then they would come home, it was dark, so they would never really have a time to talk. So they would have a time to talk is by the third watch. So these are the physical signs of each watch, these three items. The Gemara wants to know like this, Micah Choshev, what are these the signs of? Are these the signs of the beginning of each watch, the end of each watch, the middle of each watch? Right, the donkey start braying. Is that the beginning of the first watch, the end of the first watch? It just says that's the first watch. And the question is, why do you need... Why, the first watch begins by Tzeis HaKochavim, and the last watch ends by dawn. You don't need a sign for the beginning of the first watch, because it's Tzeis HaKochavim, and you don't need a sign for the end of the last watch, because it's dawn. So what are these signs for exactly? Micah Choshev, what are these signs for? Rav Elazar, Itchilas Mishmaros Kachoshev, if he's giving you physical manifestations of the beginning of each angelic watch, then Tchilas Mishmar Rishona Simna Lamali Urtahu. Why do you need a sign for the first one? If these three signs, which is donkeys braying, dogs barking, and babies nursing, is the beginning of each watch, why do you need the beginning of the first watch? You don't need a sign. That's Tzeis HaKochavim. I know when Tzeis HaKochavim is. Okay. And Isof Mishmar is Kachashev, and if these three signs, which is donkeys braying, dogs barking, and babies nursing, is the end of each watch, the question is, Saif Mishmar Achrona Lamali. You don't need a last one either, because that's dawn. I know when dawn is. Just look outside. There you go. So what exactly are these signs for? And again, the significance is because these signs are Eis Ratzons from Shemaim. So I want to know what he's, and also it affects for Shema. It affects both for Shema, as Rav Elazar already started, and it affects for Eis Ratzon. So the answer is, Elachoshiv Sof Mishmar Rishona, the first sign of donkeys braying is the end of the first watch. Utchilas Mishmar Achrona, Vamsos Tamtsisa. He gave you a sign for the end of the first, the middle of the second, and the end of and the beginning of the third. So the end of the first, middle of the second, and beginning of the third. Which, by the way, the middle of the second is Chatzos. That's why there's an Indian of Tikkun Chatzos, because it's one of these shifts. Okay. The Gemara answers another answer. V'ibay Yisema, Kulu Saif Mishmaris Kechashiv. Or, it could be all of these things are the end of the watch. So then the last watch, the last sign for the watch is when a baby nurses, you should know that that's the end of the last watch. So what do you need that for? It's dawn. Just go outside, look at it's dawn. So the answer is, what do I need this for? What if you're in a house that has no windows? Right? I want to know when dawn is. I want to know when's the proper time for Shema. See, he's giving me signs. And when a baby starts nursing, that's dawn. Why do I need a sign for? Just look outside. I'm in a house that has no windows. I'm in a dark cave. I can't tell what the zmanim are. If a baby starts nursing, that's dawn. Now, by the way, just to, the proper zman for Shema is actually not dawn. It's Mishiyakir. Mishiyakir, a little bit later, 12 minutes later, 30 minutes later. So Tysus points out that it doesn't mean when you hear the baby nursing, you could start saying Shema, because it's too early. It just means start getting up, go to the bathroom, grab your coffee, and then by the time you get, if you wake up by dawn and you start getting yourself ready, by the time you get up to Shema, you'll be at the right time. Okay, fine. New Gemara. Very easy Gemara. Today's, I told you, if you got through yesterday, today will be fine. You gotta be careful when it's this early. I was telling him that I woke up, I put tzitzis on at like 5:15. I just made a bracha. It's not a lace today until 6:07. So you gotta just, for the record, just when it comes to brachas also, we're getting up for these shiurim. Wait a little bit. you know, when it comes to all the Birchas Hatorah you could say, but the regular brachas you should, it's better to wait until, I wasn't Yoytze B'chalal the Tzitzis, I'm saying that's B'chalal Bracha Vatal, but the other stuff, just better to wait. Anyway, Gemara says like this, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Mishmei Derav, Gimel Mishmaris Havalayla, there are three angelic watches, three shifts of Malachim and Shemayim, V'alkol Mishmar U'Mishmar, and during each shift, Yoyshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'shoi Kari, Hashem sits and roars like a lion, va'oimer, and he says, Oy lebonim, shabba v'neseim hechrafti es beisi, woe is to his children that because of their sins I destroyed my house, sarafti es echali, I burnt my temple, v'heglisim lebein umas ha'olam, and I sent them away. That's why there's an Indian Tikkun Chatzos. Tikkun Chatzos is not a time to daven for parnasa, for sure, it's for the mourning over the Beis HaMikdash is lost. The reason is because in Shemayim, the reason why we do it is because Hashem is doing it. Hashem during nighttime, specifically, and especially at Chatzos, Hashem is mourning the Churban. Therefore, we're just tapping into what's already happening. The Gemara continues. Tanya. Very famous story. Rav Yossi says, Pam achas hayisi mahalach baderech, one time I was traveling, v'nechnasti l'churba achas m'churbis Yushalayim l'hispalo. I entered one of the churbas, one of the ruins of Yushalayim to daven. Bo Elio zachel atoiv, Eliyahu Navi came, v'shamali ala Pesach. And by the way, whenever you hear of stories of Eliyahu Navi, you have to assume that it's through meditation. There are some opinions that held that Eliyahu actually physically manifests himself. There are opinions that held that when it says Eliyahu is walking around, it means you see a body of Eliyahu. Some Sefer definitely holds that way, but the Abar Ben El, famously in Yeshua's Mashiach, in the beginning of the second parak, he holds that anytime it says Eliyahu, it means either dreams or meditation. Eliyahu doesn't actually walk around. You have to also understand just a little bit of a context of where the Abar Ben El is coming from. His whole Sefer is to disprove Christianity and Yashka. So the premise of a person who died and is now walking around, you understand why he would be a little like, let's not go with that route. So he went with, so Eliyahu Navi comes and waits for him as he's davening. V'shamali ala Pesach, at shesiyamti tefilosai, until I finish my Shemoneh Esrei. L'achar shesiyamti tefilosai, by the way, he wants to give him a little musar. So notice how he doesn't interrupt him. It's a big aside. It's a subtle thing to learn from Eliyahu Navi, that when you want to give musar to someone, let them finish. I mentioned this by the Sanhedrin Shir, very bekitzer, that we were talking about David HaMelech's potential aveira with Bathsheba, whatever it is on his level. And the Amirayim, the pre-Tanaim, the Rabbonim of the time, asked David HaMelech in Shir, in the Beis Medrash, what's the aveira of living with a married woman? So he would say, chenek, but you get olam haba. But embarrassing someone publicly, ein lechei olam haba. It was his way of giving a musar, like, you're trying to embarrass me, like, settle down. So I mentioned that the Blush of a Rebbe was once at a shul, and while the Balkaira was laning, everyone was chopping him and making him, like, really getting him, like people sometimes enjoy to do for some reason. And after he ran out right after davening, because he was embarrassed. And the Blush of a Rebbe got up, and he said, it's possible we weren't Yoitza Kriyas HaTorah, which is a rabbinic obligation. But we definitely were Malbim Pnei Chaveh Barabim, which is Ein Lechei L'Klam Haba. So he says, congratulations, we definitely fulfilled that. But when you're going to give musa to someone, sometimes let him finish, go to him privately, and not do it publicly. So the Gemara says, Eliyahu Navi wants to give him musa, so he waits for him to finish. Amar li Shalom Alecha Rebbe. So Eliyahu Navi greets him, and he says, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. V'amarti lo Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umayri, and he says, Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umayri. He says, my son, why are you into this ruin? As we're going to see in the next Gemara, entering a ruin is also for three reasons. One is, it was dangerous, physically dangerous. You can't put yourself in a dangerous situation. Number two, there were shadim. Shadim was a legitimate problem back then. We don't really have a problem back nowadays with shadim because we're not so spiritual beings, so they don't really bother us. But when they were, it was a problem. And number three was women. It didn't look good. That was where there were a lot of prostitution, so it looked very bad. So he basically was saying, what are you going into these ruins for? It's a very bad look. So he says, Amarti lo l'spalal, I went to daven. V'amarli, hayilach l'spalal v'derech. So Eliyahu says, why don't you just daven on the road? V'amarti lo, I said, Mesiara, hayisi shem yafsi b'ayvi d'rachem. I was worried that I wouldn't have kavona. So v'amarli, hayilach l'spalal tefila k'tzara. Daven shorter, meaning, better not have kavona. Better have a shorter Shemoneh Esrei, not have kavana, than put yourself in a situation that you shouldn't be. Ba'oisei shalom mati menu shloisha dvarim, says Rav Yossi, I learned from Eliyahu three things. Lamadi she'enech nasan l'churva. I learned, first of all, you're not allowed to enter into a ruin, as the Gemara will address below. Lamaditi she'mesmalin bederech. I learned that you're allowed to daven on the road. V'lamadi she'mesmalin bederech mesmal tefillah katsara. And I learned that when you daven on the road, you could do a shortened Shmona Esrei. Now, what the shortened Shmona Esrei is, this Machlokas Rishonim, Rashi and Taisvis, there's basically two versions of what it was. We don't have either of them anymore. One was that it was called a Tefillas Beinoni. Basically, there's two options of what it was. The Machlokas Rishonim, what it was. Either it was the three brachas before, three brachas after, but the middle, right, the middle 11 brachas of requests, middle, it's 19 brachas, the middle 13 brachas of requests was just shortened to one bracha. Or it was 19 brachas, but much shorter, meaning Ata Kadosh, Baruch Hashem Akel Kadosh. Ata Chonim, Baruch Hashem Chonim Adas. Hashivei Revinu. So it's a machlokas. Either he wanted him to daven a shorter Shmoneh Esrei, each bracha shorter, or a shorter overall, seven bracha Shmoneh Esrei. Again, it's not relevant because we don't do this anymore. Basically, either daven or you don't daven nowadays. It's just, nobody does these things anymore. But anyway, that's what I learned from him. Fun. So now, Amr Lai, so Elio Navi wants to give him like some, you know, some thought on his way out after the Musar. Amr Lai Bini, Ma Kol Shemata B'chor V'zu. Did you hear anything in this ruin? The Amarti Loi, I said, Shemati Baskol Shemenehemes Kiyoina. I heard a Baskol that was cooing like a dove. V'aymeres, and it was saying, Oy Lebanim Shavaneseh Mechrafti Es Besi. It was the voice of Hashem that said, woe is to a father that sends his son away. V'serafti Esichali, I burnt my temple. V'eglisa Min Umais. And the reason why it was cooing like a dove is because Klal Yisrael is compared to a dove. Because a dove, there's a lot of reasons for it. But anyway, we'll get to that later. But Klal Yisrael is compared to a dove. V'omer li, so Eliyahu Navi said, Chayecha v'chay reshecha, I swear, Loisha zu bilvade meres kach, you should know that the heavenly voice of Hashem does not just say it now. Ela b'chol yoyim v'yoyim shalish pa meres kach. It says it three times a day, as we said before, during each of the watches, each of the shifts of the watch. And you should know, it's not only them, that when the Jewish people go to the shuls, and when they say, that answer of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem shakes his head in agreement. Praiseworthy is the king that they say this in his house. Woe is to the father that exiles his son. Now, by the way, just very bekitzer. Good time was. Yeah, it's only 7. We're good. Very bekitzer. The Gemara is saying that the tefillah that moves Hashem the most is Yehi Shmei Rabbah. So, what does it mean? So, I tell you outside. There's a machlokes tanoim as to what it means, Pasha. Well, what does it mean? We're saying this tefillah. So, the Machzer Vitri. Just know who that is. Machzer Vitri. It's quoted in Taisus. He was a Talmud of Rashi. His name was Vitri. And he wrote a machzer. He wrote a siddur of Rashi. Siddur based on the nuschos of Rashi. You could buy it in the Sfarim stores, in the Yeshivish Sfarim stores. Nah, I don't know, like, you need like a, you know, deals in the Burman's Eichlers. It's called Machzer Vitri. So over there, he teaches up that Yehei Shmei Rabbah is actually two different tefillahs. It's Yehei Shmei Rabbah. Your name should be complete. Because we know that Hashem's name is not complete until Amalek is destroyed. So your name should be complete, meaning, in other words, destroy Amalek. And Mevarach L'Olam Amaya, you should be blessed forever and ever. So it's two different tefillahs. Which, the reason why you're davening to that destroy Amalek is because they're the thing stopping Mashiach from coming. So Yehei Shmei Rabbah, Mashiach, Amalek should be destroyed, period. And Mevarach L'Olam Amaya, you should be blessed forever. Taisi doesn't like this because he says, how is he describing the bracha? Yehei Shmei Hagadol Mevarach. It sounds like it's one tefillah, not two lines. So he says, what the pshat is, what you're saying is, your name, your great name should be complete and blessed forever. That's it. Your great name should be blessed forever. Hey Shmei Arava, Mevarach Leil Maya. Your great name should be blessed forever and ever. Not two tefillahs about Amalek, just Stam. Hashem's name should be blessed forever and ever. Okay, maybe if we have time, we'll come back to it. Tana Rabbanan. Shlosha Dvarim Ein Nechnasim L'Churva. There are three reasons why you're not allowed to enter into a churva in Halacha. Mepnei Chshad, because Chshad is Marisayim. Chshad means it doesn't look good. It's like putting fake cheese on a burger. You might be doing nothing wrong, but it doesn't look good. You're walking into an area where there's prostitution. You might not be doing anything wrong, but it doesn't look good. So in Nechshad, there were women. That's where the women would hang out. That was the brothel area. So that's also because of that reason. Because it could fall down. Danger. And by the way, even if you survive, You lose chusim, so why put yourself? You'll either the churva will fall on you and you'll die, or it won't fall on you and you might have used your chusim up because Hashem had to save you because you had an idiot who went into a dilapidated building. And the last one is pnei mazikim because of shedim. Okay, so there's three reasons. So the Gemara wants to know, why do you need all three? Meaning, give me a situation where only one applies. If there's three reasons, that means that there are situations where only one out of the three applies. So the question is, what's a situation where there's only a concern of women? What's a situation where there's only a concern of fall? And what's a situation where there's only a concern of shadim? So let's go through each one. Menech shad, betepikle meshe mapoiles. What about mapoiles? Meaning, what's a situation where I'm just concerned about it looks bad for women? There's no other concern about shadim or it'll fall down. So the Gemara says, the next page, b'chadati, it's a brand new ruin. A ruin doesn't mean that it's falling apart. If you have someone that had to leave their house and run away because of enemies, the house can be brand new, structurally sound, but it's a ruin because nobody lives there anymore. It's dilapidated because it's empty. So you could have a ruin in Yerushalayim. The churban happened. I'm sure there were some houses that were structurally sound. The Jews had to run out. So over there, there's no concern that it'll fall. But there's still concern of women. Isn't there also a concern of shadim? So the answer is, betray. Shadim don't attack two people. So therefore, if you and your buddy are going into this ruin, which is structurally sound, the shadim won't attack you. And it's structurally sound, but the only concern is women. It doesn't look good. Even for two men. So the Gemara says, wait, ibetrech shanamilak. I thought two men are allowed to be miyachad with one woman. The halacha is that two women are not allowed to be miyachad with one man. But two men are allowed to be miyachad with one woman because the assumption is you're not going to do anything in front of your friend. So if I'm going with another guy into this ruin, even if it's structurally sound, so the shadim aren't going to attack me because I'm two, it's structurally sound, it's not going to fall, and there's no concern of women either because I'm walking with my buddy. Two men, there's no problem of yichud. So the answer is betray or pritzi. This is actually how we paskin, which is that there is a problem of yichud if it's two men with one woman, if they're not such frum guys. Meaning, if they're men that would do something inappropriate, pritzi, they're not appropriate men. Meaning, two rabbonim go into a room with a woman, we're not concerned about anything going on. Two men that aren't so frum, that's when there's a problem. Betray or pritzi. Now, by the way, the definition of pritzi, that's, meaning, what's allowed and what's not allowed is a machlekes semach tzedek and the Rama in Eben Ezer. The Rama in Eben Ezer says all you need is two people that you don't know that they're inappropriate. Meaning, assume everyone's fine. The Tzemach Tzedek says, no, I need two people that I know are in this area of Yiddishkeit very strong. But it actually was Negea, not now, because it's... No. But I'll get into it. I had a whole Shiloh with someone that he was staying overnight. It was a whole Shiloh, and he had his girlfriend sleeping over in the house. So it was him, his girlfriend, and one other guy in the room. So he said, is it a problem? I said, of course it's a problem. There's a whole maysa, I'll tell you, there's a whole crazy maysa. The kids are, so I said, of course it's a problem. He says, two guys. I said, she's your girlfriend. That's called pritzi. You guys are living together. Ain lach pritzi gadol mizav. But anyway, that's a situation where the only concern is women, because it's two, so shadim won't attack. It's a structurally sound, but because they're inappropriate, there's a problem of women. Now the Gemara goes, many apapolis. What's a situation where we're only concerned it's gonna fall? Tepigle mechshum mashad mazik and betray kshari. You have two people, two rabbonim, go into a room. So there's no concern of women. There's shadim won't attack two people, but it's structurally not sound. So the concern over there is it'll fall. And mei mazikin, what's a situation where there's only a concern of shadim? So the answer is tepek leib mepnech shadim apoyles, four lines in. Bechur bechadati ubetrei bechshari. Oh, so Gemara, this is tricky. It has to be structurally sound, so that it's not going to fall. It has to be that there's two men and they're rabbanim, so there's no women concerns, but there's still shadim concern. But the problem is shadim don't attack two people. So how do you have a situation where there's just shadim and there's no, if there's two men and they're rabbonim, so there's no concern of women, but there should be a concern of shadim. Why? Shadim won't attack two people. So the answer is, ibetrei mazika nami laka bimkoim and chashina. Again, these don't apply. If shadim won't attack two people, unless you go into their house. There were certain places in the world where the shadim populated. It was their home. It's like, so they attacked you in their home, even if you were two people. Betray b'mekayim and chayshinan. That shadim won't go out into the street and attack someone if there's two people there. But if two people walk into their home, they will get attacked. For the record, I have a sefer of Rav Kaduri. Rav Kaduri is like Hanhogas. And they asked him, is there any place where you have to be concerned about Shadim nowadays? And he said, Shar Shechem. That was the only, I don't know how that, he said, Shar Shechem is Bimchaim and Chashina. That's what he said. He quoted this Gemara. He said, Shar Shechem, you shouldn't be going to Shar Shechem anyway, but Shar Shechem is Bimchaim and Chashina. Anyway, so the Gemara says, or, Iba Yisayim lo'oilam mechad, ubechur mechadati, dekoy bedibra. Or one more situation where you're only concerned about Shadim is you got one guy in a structurally sound churban. So it's not going to fall. He's one. Wait, isn't that a problem of women? The answer is it's in the fields. Women never, the problem of prostitution was in the city. The fields, there were never women there. So you're going into the field and you found the ruin in the field. Like you have this sometimes when you go like a kvarim in Op Tzva, it's just like in the field, it's just like a dilapidated house somewhere. That was like the mikvah of Rabbi Danasi, whatever it is. So that, there's no women there, there's no women. That's not a concern of women, because women don't, that wasn't where the problem was. So there's one person, so there's no problem of women. It's structurally sound, it's not going to fall. The one problem is because of Shadim. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. New Gemara. You see, as I said, I wasn't like trying to be a salesman. Much easier than yesterday. Tana Rabban. Arba Mishmaras Havelaila. There are four celestial, I don't know, celestial is not the right word. There's four angelic watches in Shemayim. Each consisting of 3 hours, Divrei Rebbe. That's a Rebbe's opinion. Rav Nosson Omer Shalosh. Rav Nosson says 3 watches, each one consisting of 4 hours. My time at the Rav Nosson, what's the source of Rav Nosson that there are three? Dichsiv, as it says in the Pasuk. Gidon and his 100 men came to the end of the camp. Rosh Hashmura Hatichona, at the beginning of the middle watch in Shemayim. Middle is three, right? Middle is in between the other two, so middle is three. So Gemara says, Ein Tichon El Sheish Lefenel Achreha. Middle means is one before, one after is three. So what does Rebbe not? What does Rebbe Rebbe do with that? Who says that there's four? The Rebbe, my Tichon Achas Mina Tichon Shebetichonus. You know what Rebbe says? I'm a middle child. There are four of us. Yeah, because you could have two middles. Okay. So when he says the middle watch, there's two middles. Middle doesn't mean that there's three. Middle could be four, and both of them are middles. The pasuk just says that he got to the middle watch. Who says that there's three? There could be four, and there's two middles. So the Gemara says, and Rabbi Nosson responds to that, Miksiv tichonus habitichonus tichonuksiv. Rabbi Nosson says, no, it says middle. It doesn't say middle of the middles. It doesn't say one of the middles. Middle. Middle implies three. Okay. My time at the Rebbe. What's Rebbe's source? That Rebbe said that there are 4 watches in Shemayim. Amar Rav Zrik, Amar Rav Ami, Amar Rav Yishuv and Levi. Kosev Echad Oimer. Regarding David HaMelech, it says like this. One pasuk says, Chatzois Laila Okam Lohoides L'chal Mishpatei Tzekecha. One pasuk says that David HaMelech would wake up by Chatzois. Okay, now understand, the night is 12 hours. Chatzois is 6 hours into the night. So he woke up, let's just go, he woke up at midnight. Let's just go with our hours. Sunset 6, sunrise 6 a.m., he woke up at midnight. 6 hours into the night. Another pasuk says though, Kodnu Einai Eshmarois. I saw both watches. If you wake up at midnight, and there's 6 hours left of the night, and you saw watches, that's 6 divided by 2 is 3, right? You wonder how many watches there are? He woke up at Chatzos, which is 6 hours into the night, and he said, I saw 2 watches in Shemayim. So that means that in 6 hours is 2 watches, 3 hours each. Good? If that's not clear at all, you let me know. Huh? He says he woke up at Chatzos.
If you divide it in 4, you would be right in the middle
still
of the middle 2 watches.
Is it 2 full watches?
He's in the middle, there's 2 left.
Hours.
There's 2 hours.
So
it's 4 hours.
We'll
do that.
I saw 2 watches,
right? He woke up at Chatzos. He said, I saw a Shmarois. I saw the watches, multiple watches, which means that in 6 hours there's multiple. So if each watch is 4 hours, that's 1.5. It must be each watch is 3 hours. 2 times 3 is 6. That he was up at Chatzos. He saw by 6 a.m. he already had seen 2 watches. So that means that each watch consists of 3 hours. So the Gemara says, how do you respond to that? If you hold that each one is 4 hours, how do you get out of that? So the Gemara says there's 2 ways to get out of that. Haketzad arba mishmaras havelaila. Rav Nosson, savor l'krav Yeshua. Titznan Rav Yeshua oimer at shalosh shos. Shekin derech malachim la'am b'shalosh shos. The answer is like this. He woke up at dawn. He woke up at Chatzos. At midnight, and dawn was 6 a.m., so it's 6 hours, and he said, I saw 2 watches, so each watch is 3 hours. Why do you assume that he stopped his count at 6 a.m.? Why? Because that's when people get up, 6 a.m., you get up at dawn. Kings, the Gemara always tells us that kings would actually sleep 2 more hours into the day. That was always what they did. The kings would always sleep 2 more hours. So David HaMelech was saying like this, I woke up at Chatzais. By the time kings, I'm a king, by the time other kings are waking up, two watches have passed. Why? Six of night plus their 2 hours equals eight. Each watch consists of 4 hours. Meaning, he was referencing, comparing himself to other kings. He was saying, by the time other kings are up, I've gotten up, I've had two watches by the time they get up. Six of night, shis delilah, 6 hours of the night, v'tarti demama, and 2 hours of the day. So that's 8 hours. Each watch consisting of 4 hours. Havelu shtei mishmaros. Ravashi Omar, Ravashi has another teretz, which is much simpler. Let's go with Pashup Shat. He wakes up at Chatzos. By 6 a.m. he's already said, I've seen multiple watches. How's that possible? Let's say each watch is 4 hours. So 1.5. 1.5 is two. 1.5 is two. The Gemara says, Mishmaru Palganami, Mishmaru's Karle. 1.5 is considered two. I saw, there's a sefer called Sha'ar Mitzvah B'Halacha. It's a very nice sefer by Rav Braun. What he does is he goes through Shas and he just mentions random halachic ramifications. So he says that 1.5 watches is two. It's two. So he says there's actually a halachic ramification of this from the Chassam Sofer. You know that on Shabbos you're supposed to have Lecha Mishnah, two challahs. Now yes, if you only have one, okay, you only have one. If you have sliced bread, you have sliced bread, but you're supposed to have two, Lechachila. Chassam Sofer held that 1.5 is two. Because he says, you see from this Gemara, 1.5, 1.5 is two. The problem is, the reason why it's a Pella, it's a Pella Gadol, is because on the night of the Seder, what do? So we have three, right? Because we have two full ones and a half. Why do we have the third one? Because you have to break one because lechemoni is supposed to be a poor man's bread. But now you're only stuck with 1.5. It's not lechem mishnah. Give me a second. According to Chassam Sofer, I thought 1.5 is good. So everyone always like, no one understands how he figures out the Seder. But that's like lahalacha. The Chassam Sofer used to say that you see from this Gemara that 1.5 equals two. So for lechem mishnah also, listen, you got one challah and the other challah ripped in half. All right, 1.5 is two. Anyway, let's go weiter. Amar Rav Zvika, Amar Rav Ami, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Now we're just going to mention some things from Rav Yeshua ben Levi. That ein oimer b'fnei ames el dvarav shel mes. In front of the nifter, this applies at any point before the person is buried, or even after the person is buried, within dalet ames of the grave. Ein oimer, but specifically by the eulogy, ein oimer b'fnei ames el dvarav shel mes. You have to talk about the dead body. You can't talk about other topics. You can't just go off. Let's say you're giving a eulogy. You have to talk about the halacha and that person and his actions. You can't just give a drasha. Because the Gemara is going to say in a moment, there's a concept called loyig l'rash charef eseyu, which is the reason why we tuck our tzitzisin. Why do you tuck your tzitzisin when you go to a grave? Because you're making fun of them, because they can't keep mitzvahs anymore, and you're like flaunting it. So the Gemara says similarly, when you're giving a eulogy, you have to be very careful what you're talking about, because if you start talking about a halacha, say you want to talk about it, sometimes you have this like Rosh Hashivas, they'll give like a drasha about the nifter, and it's like, you know, insert name here, it has nothing to do with the person. So you're giving a whole drasha about, the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Tefillin, and it's like the body is sitting there, like, I can't do this. Why are you flaunting in my face? Says, who is this? This is Rav Abba Kahana. He says the only problem is Torah. The only problem is if you're going to talk about Torah, it has to be relevant to the person. You can't talk about Torah that's not relevant to him because it's embarrassing. But let's say you want to talk about politics. Yeah, go for it. It has nothing to do with him. He doesn't care. Meaning, it's not like it has to be about the person. If you want to talk about sports or whatever, okay, go for it. He doesn't care. He's on a different level. He's not concerned about it. You just can't put Torah in his face. It's not like it has to be about him. But if it's going to be Torah, it has to be about him. But if you want to talk about politics, whatever it is, okay, fine. It's not relevant to him. He doesn't care. The other opinion is Ikad Amri, and some say Amr of Abba Barkana Loy Amr Alafil B'Divrei Torah Kol Shekei Miladama. And some say no, Torah has to be about him, and Kol Shekei Non Torah also has to be about him. Meaning, if you're going to talk about Torah that's not relevant to him, that's embarrassing. You know what's more embarrassing? Talking about like sports or politics that's not relevant. He's sitting here, he's like, listen, I got one opportunity for you to eulogize me properly, and you're going to talk about something random that has no shaykhus, that's even more embarrassing. I will say this though, one quick halacha, we're going to get into this more in the third parak, because the third parak is really the source of all this. We have time. There's a halachic problem when you go near a grave of davening in front of him. And wearing tzitzis and tefillin. It's a big problem. So the shaila, right? When you go to a kever, you have to tuck your tzitzis in because you don't want to. You know. So the shaila is, how are you ever allowed to daven and say tehillim? If you go to Lubavitch Rebbe's kever, you go to the kever ochel. You're saying tehillim. How are you saying tehillim? It's embarrassing. So one of the major yisaidis is that if you're doing it for there's chosim, meaning if you're doing it because the tzaddik's here, then it's not embarrassing. On the contrary, it's a big zchus for the nifter. On the contrary, you're saying, Rochel Imenu, I'm davening here because I know how holy this place is because of you. So then it's a big zchus for it. It's not embarrassing. But I will say this, though. Rav Yitzchak Meyer has a tshuva where he points out a halachic problem that people don't realize. Sometimes when you go to a grave, you can't get close. So you're actually like, you know, like by the Arizal's kever in Svat, a lot of times there's so many people that you can't actually get there. You're 20 feet away by a different person. You're davening, having in mind the Arizal, and the people around you, they just see someone davening and it has nothing to do with them. So he says that's a little bit not so good. So he said you should always have in mind when you go to a cemetery, if you're not near the nifter, that this tefillah should be zchus anyone who's nearby in addition to the tzaddik. Because he says sometimes you can't get near the tzaddik and you're just going on and on saying tehillim and the person's nearby is saying, well, that's embarrassing to me. You're not, like, imagine embarrassment. You're talking about the Lubavitcher Rebbe and I'm right here and I can't daven. So you have to just have that in mind. Anyway, let's go back to it. The Gemara says like this, David HaMelech would wake up at midnight. So the Gemara says, David palga delayla have a koi. More to have a koi. I thought David Melch didn't sleep at all. I thought he was just like Yaakov Avinu, just did the whole nodding off thing. I thought he didn't sleep at all. Dechziv, the pasuk says, kadamti b'neshef ashua. I wake up at Neshef and I cry out. Neshef is night, meaning I'm up by nighttime. So it says that he slept until Chatzais. I thought he didn't sleep at all. The Gemara says, umimayda ha-neshef ortu. First of all, how do you know that Neshef means night? Dechziv, b'neshef be'erev yoim be'ishan layla v'afela. By Neshef, when the darkness comes. Meaning by the beginning of night is when darkness comes. So he was up by Neshef, which means he didn't sleep at all. So did he sleep until Chatzos, or did he not sleep? So the answer is, Amrav Aishi, Amrav Acha, Hachi Gomer, Me'oilam lo'avar alay Chatzos, la'ilam Mashina. All he said was that I'm up by midnight. Doesn't mean he's sleeping till midnight. He was up before that too. He just meant I never slept past midnight. He never slept at all. He was like dremeling, as I said, just like, but when the pasuk says that he got up by chatzais, doesn't mean he was sleeping until chatzais. It just means he was definitely up by chatzais. He was up before then too. The Gemara says, Rav Zera Omar, another teretz, al chatzais laila hayim misnamnim kesus. Until chatzais, he would doze off like a horse. Horses sleep standing up like this. He would sleep a little bit like that, but by chatzais, mikanvei l'chayim miskabe kari. By chatzais, he would get up, meaning no more dozing off. By Chatzais he was up. So before then he would sleep a little bit, but not really sleeping. He would do like a little bit out, you know, called Shita Nishman. He would sleep for 60 breaths. The Gemara says that according to the Halacha, means he wouldn't sleep for more than a half hour. Rav Ashi Amar HaChatzais Laila Yosef B'Divir Torah Mekan Ve'elich B'Tzirius V'Shis Brachis. Rav Ashi says he didn't sleep at all. So what does it mean he got up by Chatzais? It means he got up to say Tehillim. Until Chatzais he would learn and learn Torah, and then after Chatzais he would say Tehillim. Okay. V'Neshef, let's just go a little bit. Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons. Yeah, that there's a concept of not learning Torah Shebal Peh, not saying Tehillim until after Chatzais because of the Dinim. So there's such a concept. I'm not saying we're makbid about that, but that would be modeled after David HaMelech. Let's go a little bit. The Gemara says, V'Neshef Urtehu. Right now we're saying Neshef means night. HaNeshef Tzafrahu. I thought Neshef means morning. D'chsev Yakim David Me'HaNeshef Ad Erev. David hit them from Neshef until night. It sounds like from morning to night. L'machrosa, my love, mitzafar laila. It sounds like morning to night. Loi, ma'urta bat urta. No, it means from night to night. So the Gemara says, that's a weird way to say it. I hachi, lichta mi'a neshef ad neshef, or mi'a erev ad erev. If you're going to say from night to night, then say from neshef to neshef, or erev to erev. Why would you say from neshef to erev? Neshef obviously means morning. So one pasuk implies that neshef means morning, and one pasuk implies that neshef means night. So the Gemara says, Elo amarav atrei nashvi have, neshef laila vasimam, and neshimam vasi laila. The answer is, neshef just means the end of. It's like hello. It's like shalom. It has two meanings. There are words that have multiple meanings. Neshef just means the end of. So sometimes it's referring to night because that's the end of the day, and sometimes it means the day because that's the end of the night. Neshef has multiple meanings, and therefore in Tanakh you have sometimes neshef meaning day, sometimes neshef meaning night. Let's go a little weiter. Right now we're saying that David HaMelech woke up at midnight, exactly Echatzos. So the Gemara says, V'David mi haviyod de palga delayla Amos. How could David know when Chatzos was? Hashta. Moshe Rabbeinu lehaviyada. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know when Chatzos was. Dichsiv kachatzos aleani yotzi mitoch mitzrayim. The pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu told everyone that told Paro kechatzos alayla. Like Chatzos, I'm taking the Jews out. Like Chatzos. What do you mean like Chatzos? The answer is. So the Gemara says My kechatzos. Ilay medarmalei kuchabrichu kechatzos. Miyika sveika kamishamaya. You think Hashem said like chatzos? Hashem doesn't talk like. Hashem is specific. So Hashem must have said chatzos at midnight. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu change it? The answer is, al da'amarle bechatzos. Vasayu v'amar kechatzos. Moshe Rabbeinu changed it to kechatzos. Why? Alma mesafkale. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know exactly when chatzos is. They didn't have clocks. So he didn't want to say exactly at chatzos, because if he was 2 seconds off, it would look bad for him. So he changed it to kichatzos, because he wasn't 100% sure, because they didn't have clocks back then. So the Gemara says, so Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know, and David knew. David's smarter than Moshe. The answer is no. David have a yada simna havale. The answer is David had a symbol, the famous harp of David HaMelech. It's not like David knew. Hashem knew. And Hashem... There was a harp that was hanging over the bed of David. And once he got to Chatzos Laila, Baruch Tzafonis, a northern wind came in a Sheves Bay and gave a strong burst. Umenagin me'olav, and the song would wake and it would play a tune. And miyad hayoymid vaisik b'tayra atcha alman ashachar, and he would wake up and say tehillim until alman ashachar. So that's why he knew it was chatzos. Not just he knew; he wasn't smart. It was just that he had a cymbal, he had a harp, and Hashem would blow it. Let's just go a little. Let's just finish up the amid. The Gemara says kivan shalman ashachar. He would say tehillim until dawn. Kivan shalman ashachar. Once he got to dawn, nichnasu chachmei Yisrael etzlay. The chacham would come to him. Amr loy adoneinu hamelech amcha Yisrael tzichem parnasa. He was involved in day to day life. The people, the generals came. The advisors came and said, the Jewish people need money. There's not enough money. So, Amar Lahem, L'chubis Barnus is Emizaz. He says, okay, so let them do business with each other. Meaning, let's make this work within the, spread the finances out within the government. Amar Lahem, Ein HaKemitz Mas B'Esari. They said, a little straw is not going to satiate a lion, meaning not enough money. Ve'ein habar mismalim uchul yaisai, and you can't fill a pit with the dirt that you took out of it. If you take dirt, if you take the floor and make a hole, and you have a pile of dirt and put it back, it's not going to fill up because some will get lost. So he's saying basically, there's not enough money within Klal Yisrael we need to get some more. Well, we need to get some more money. It's not enough within the kingdom. So Amar lehem lechu v'pishri yideichem b'gdud. So go to war. Fine. Why would they go to war back then? For money. Is it go to war? Fine. Let's go to war. Miyad yoyitzim b'achi teufel, v'nechalachim b'sanhedrin, v'shoim b'rimtum. The stage, the steps to go to war will end in 2 minutes. The steps to go to war were 3 steps. They would ask achi teufel. Achi teufel wasn't just a person. Achi teufel was, they would ask the generals strategically, what's the best way to go to war? Then, meaning, is war a good idea? Before you talk to God, let's just practically talk to the generals, is this a good idea? Then, Sanhedrin, they would ask permission from the Sanhedrin, from the Rabbanim, to daven for them. So you get the general signing off, this is a good idea practically. Then you go to the Rabbanim, get a bracha, and then Urim V'tumim, now we ask God. God, do you sign off? You don't want to bother Hashem until everyone signs off before that. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef Maikra, how do you know that this was the process? Because the pasuk says like this, Achri Achi Teufel, after Achri Teufel, then Beneu Ben Yoyada, then there was Beneu Ben Yoyada, and Av Yosar, Visar Tzva Lamelech Yoav. Now the Pashup shot of this pasuk is it's describing different people that after Achitofel died, then Ben Yoav and the other took over. But the Gemara wants to say that each person symbolizes a different thing. Achitofel's a Yoatz. Achitofel is the generals asking them strategically. Then V'cheinu Omer V'atzas Achitofel She Yoatz Biyam Mahem, and that's why Achitofel always gives advice. Kashi Yishal Dvar Elikin. Go to the next page and we'll just finish up 2 lines. Beneu ben Yoda is a Sanhedrin. Then after you ask the generals, they would go to Beneu ben Yoda. Beneu ben Yoda, who's a tzaddik, he symbolizes a Sanhedrin. Ask the Rabbanim to daven for them. The Aviyasar, Elu Urim V'tumim. And then they went to Aviyasar, who was the Urim V'tumim, which is asking God. V'cheinu Oimer, u'Beneu ben Yoda ala Kresi v'ala Plesi. This one means Beneu ben Yoda was on top of Kresi and Plesi. Beneu ben Yoda was the Sanhedrin. They were above the Urim V'tumim. The Urim V'tumim is called the Kresi U'Plesi. Why? The Lamedi Krishim Kresi U'Plesi. Kresi Shekarsin Devreim. Plesi Shemefalam Devreim. The Urim V'tumim, which was the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol that would light up, was called the Kresi and Plesi because Kresi means their words cut. He wasn't messing around. That was not like when you asked the Urim V'tumim, he didn't give you a folksy, I don't know, I'm not sure, what do you think? No, Karsi Devreim. It was definitive. And Muflam Devreim, and his words were wondrous, because sometimes there were things that you miraculously, the whole process is miraculous. So Beneu Ben Yoyada, which is the Sanhedrin, was above the Kresi Uplesi, was before the Kresi Uplesi, and then, end with this, V'yachikach Sar Tzavala Melech Yoyav, and then you went to the Sartzeva Lamelech Yoav, then you went to war. So the process was, you asked the generals strategically, you asked the Rabbanim for Tadavin, you asked Urim V'Tumim for permission, for advice, and then you went to war. All right, Shkoyach.